Hello and welcome to the Subverse News Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a range of topics, including Mexico looking to extradite the El Paso shooter, assisted suicide law passing in New Jersey, Iran warning of the mother of all wars over escalating tensions, and the Asian medical marijuana market is loosening its restrictions. Before we get into today's topics, make sure you follow us over at Minds at subverse.minds.com, where you can find articles, exclusive content, and our distributed newsroom. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. Links are in the description.
Following the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas last weekend, Mexico declared it will take legal action against the shooter and the gunmakers. Mexican Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard condemned the attack on Twitter, saying, "The position, the indignation of Mexico translates first in protecting the affected families, and that there be effective, prompt, expeditious, and forceful legal actions for Mexico to protect Mexicans in the United States." The mass shooting committed by Dallas resident Patrick Crucius, 21, left 8 Mexican nationals dead, while 6 Mexican citizens still remain in the hospital. Ebrard agreed with comments by President Trump Monday that racism and white supremacy are serious problems that fueled the massacre. Ebrard said that Mexico may seek to extradite Crucius under the existing extradition treaty between the two countries. However, extraditing an American shooter to Mexico for crimes committed in the U.S. is not easy and requires several steps. According to the rule on foreign extradition, the foreign embassy must first request the state or Justice Department, then review and forward the request to the DOJ's Office of International Affairs. If the OIA deems the request sufficient and appropriate, it forwards it to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the district where the fugitive is located. A U.S. attorney is then assigned to the case and appears in court in support of the request for extradition, with the prosecutor representing the U.S. in fulfilling its obligations under the extradition treaty. There are fewer legal protections in an expedition hearing than in other criminal proceedings, as neither the federal rules of evidence nor the federal rules of criminal procedure apply to the extradition hearing. A judge determines whether the fugitive is extraditable, and if so, certifies the extradition and sends the record to the Secretary of State, who ultimately decides whether to surrender the individual. Ebrard is planning meetings to be held in Texas, California, Chicago, New York, and Atlanta with the consuls of Mexico in the United States to expand the protocols for care and protection of Mexicans. "We are also calling for a meeting of Spanish-speaking countries with communities in the United States," Ebrard told Politico, "to safeguard the culture and rights of their citizens in the U.S. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador did not attribute the attack as the U.S. government's responsibility, saying the shooting was a product of societal decomposition of problems certain people have. It's not a generalized issue. López Obrador said Mexico did not want to get mixed up in the U.S. presidential campaign. But, he said, "We affirm our conviction that no one should confront social problems with the use of force or by inciting others to violence." In response to the El Paso and Dayton shootings, which occurred within less than a day of each other, 2 South American countries issued travel warnings for citizens traveling to the U.S. Uruguay's Office of Foreign Ministry issued an advisory Monday saying citizens should take precaution amid the growing indiscriminatory violence, specifically hate crimes, including racism and discrimination, which costed 250 lives in the past 7 months. The notice cited indiscriminate possession of firearms by the population and the impossibility of authorities to prevent these situations as reasons for traveler precautions. Venezuela's Foreign Ministry Office also issued a warning to its residents Monday, saying, "Recent proliferation of violent acts and hate crimes should be cause for concern, and that these increasing acts of violence have found an echo and support in the conversations and actions impregnated by racial discrimination and hatred against migrant populations, pronounced and executed by the supremacist elite who holds political power in Washington."
In April 2019, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a bill entitled the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act, which allows for adults that have a prognosis of 6 months or less to live to be prescribed life-ending medication. Currently, at least 19 other states are in the process of considering physician-assisted suicide laws. In the case of New Jersey, legislators have been trying to pass versions of the physician-assisted suicide bill since 2014. The first time the bill had went to a vote in the Senate, it was passed into law. Governor Murphy joins other jurisdictions that allow for physician-assisted suicide for the terminally ill, including California, Colorado, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, Hawaii, Montana, and Washington, D.C. The governor issued a press release in support of the bill, expressing that it would help protect human dignity, stating, "Allowing residents with terminal illnesses to make end-of-life choices for themselves is the right thing to do. Before a patient is deemed capable of making the life-ending decision, the law requires that a psychiatrist or psychologist determines whether they are ready, willing, and able before their prescription of the pills, which are self-administered by the patient from the comfort of their own home." In Victoria, Australia, a woman suffering from cancer has become the first person to have ended her life under the state's newest voluntary assisted dying law. Carrie Robertson, 61, had been living with cancer for close to a decade and chose to end her life instead of persisting with the terminal disease. Robertson's daughter, Jackie Hicks, spoke with the advocacy group Go Gentle Australia, saying that their mother's death was beautiful and peaceful, and that it was a beautiful, positive experience. It was the empowered death that she wanted. The assisted suicide took a total of 26 days until completion, and both daughters said the process went smoothly, saying that their mother was ready to go, and that her body was failing her, and she was in incredible pain. She had been in pain for a long time. While there is increasing support among some people over whether physician-assisted suicide, or PAS, is an acceptable choice for the terminally ill, there are some that are apprehensive about the implications of such laws. New Jersey Senator Robert Singer expressed concern over the recently passed New Jersey law, saying, "The bill has lasting ramifications and a lot of loopholes. We are so concerned about opioids and not trusting doctors with opioids, but now we are willing to trust them with this." Some bioethicists are concerned over whether or not PAS could be a potential slippery slope. Dr. Frederick White, a cardiologist from Louisiana and a delegate for the American Medical Association, has voted in opposition to physician-assisted suicide, saying that it puts vulnerable patients at risk and is contrary to the physician's role as a healer. When asked whether or not PAS could be considered a slippery slope, Dr. White replied, "I have no doubt that the slippery slope applies in PAS. PAS can rapidly devolve into generally accepted euthanasia." In the Netherlands in 2016, nearly 6,600 people were administered PAS or euthanasia, being about 5% of deaths. Almost 500 people died in the end-of-life clinics, and 212 people received PAS or euthanasia in end-of-life clinics for dementia, psychiatric disease, or accumulation of various old-age afflictions. On Tuesday, August 3rd, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani stated in a speech on Iranian state TV that war with Iran is the mother of all wars. Rouhani also warned that shipping in today's current tumultuous environment might not be safe in the Strait of Hormuz, a key oil shipping waterway. President Rouhani spoke at the foreign ministry, where he praised Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif after the U.S. imposed further sanctions on July 31st. "Peace with Iran is the mother of all peace. War with Iran is the mother of all wars," Rouhani warned, referring to the current tensions between Iran and the West. Rouhani noted that if the United States wants to have negotiations with Iran, then they would have to lift all sanctions, specifically the ones allowing Iran to continue exporting oil. "A strait for a strait," Rouhani said. "It can't be that the Strait of Hormuz is free for you, and the Strait of Gibraltar is not free for us." Rouhani refers to the UK impounding an Iranian oil tanker on July 4th that was seized by 30 Royal Marines near Gibraltar. While Iran claimed the seizure was an act of piracy, the UK suggested the tanker was suspected of breaking EU sanctions by delivering oil to Syria, a claim that Iran has denied. The Strait of Hormuz is a key waterway for oil shipping, with an estimated one-fifth of the entire world's oil passing through on a yearly basis. And the heightened tensions come after the U.S. withdrawing unilaterally from the 2015 nuclear deal. The statement from Rouhani comes amid Iranian forces seizing another oil tanker, this time one from Iraq. The Revolutionary Guard stated that they have detained 7 sailors smuggling fuel from Arab countries. Reports indicate that the operation to seize the ship happened last Wednesday, July 31st, when the vessel was intercepted carrying approximately 154,000 gallons of fuel. The tanker was reported to have been escorted to Bushehr Point in southwestern Iran and the fuel was confiscated by Iranian authorities. The Iraqi news agency indicated that Iraq's oil ministry said it has no connection whatsoever to the ship, stating, "The ministry does not export diesel to the international market." The oil ministry stated that they were going to seek additional information to figure out who the ship belonged to. All this comes amid two separate attacks and seizure of oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman over the past few months. Tehran claims that they were not involved, and those allegations are unfounded. The United States also claims that Iran shot down a surveillance drone over the Strait of Hormuz in international waters, a claim that Iran disputes, stating that it was in fact flying over Iranian airspace.
The global legal marijuana market was estimated to be worth $13.8 billion last year, and the market size is expected to reach $66.3 billion by the end of 2025, according to the new report by Grandview Research. Part of this share will be held by Asian countries that have started to relax laws against medical use of marijuana. In December 2018, Thailand passed a law allowing the use of medical marijuana. Now the Malaysian government is in talks with Australian firm THC Global Group Limited about creating a path for developing legislation for medicinal marijuana. In South Korea, the first East Asian country to pass medical marijuana legislation, select patients are now eligible to receive pre-approved marijuana-based drugs like Epidiolex, Sativex, Sesamit, and Marinol. Prohibition Partners, which calls itself the foremost source of independent data, intelligence, and strategy for the marijuana industry, estimated that Asia's medicinal marijuana market could be worth $5.8 billion by 2024. In Western markets, recreational marijuana is expected to outperform medicinal marijuana in market forecasts, but in Asia, the opposite is likely to be true, the firm said. China, which has some of the strictest drug enforcement policies in the world, has actually cultivated marijuana for thousands of years for use in textiles, oils, and traditional medicine. In China, the hemp industry is extremely lucrative, with farmers earning 10,000 yuan, or $1,500, per hectare. Authorities in Heilongjiang turned a blind eye to its production before legalizing and regulating it last year. Another major growing area is in Yunnan province, where the plant's production has been regulated since 2003. There are no official figures for the amount China produces each year, but plantations are flourishing for commercial and illicit markets. This growth has been made possible in part by government-funded scientists who study the plant's military uses, including as medication and fabric for uniforms. Together, these areas account for about half of the world's legal commercial cropland under hemp marijuana cultivation, according to China's National Bureau of Statistics. On the other hand, China has recently called the legalization of marijuana in Canada and parts of the U.S. a new threat to China. At a press conference in Beijing Monday, Liu Yuejin, deputy director of China National Narcotics Control Commission, said that the number of marijuana users in China had grown by more than 25% in 2018, rising to about 24,000. According to Liu, most of the suspects connected to the seized parcels were foreign students or students who had come home after working abroad, and most of the drugs had been transported through international express delivery. Liu did not specify how many of the packages came from North America. Experts familiar with Asia told CNBC countries in the region are not likely to legalize the plant for recreational use anytime soon, and that there are challenges ahead of medicinal use. Notably, the cost of building the infrastructure for production and distribution will be high, and it may take a while before there's a full embrace of the product. In Thailand, marijuana is currently listed as a Class 5 narcotic. This means possession, cultivation, and growing can be punished with a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. China, South Korea, and Japan last month warned citizens visiting Canada to avoid marijuana. Singapore's Central Narcotics Bureau reiterated its tough stance on the possession, consumption, or recreational use of marijuana, which could result in the fine of 20,000 Singaporean dollars, which is 14,500 US dollars, caning, or even a 10-year prison sentence. The death penalty remains in effect for trafficking more than 500 grams, Any citizens or permanent residents found to have abused controlled drugs overseas would be treated as though they had done so in Singapore. Asian nations may be moving towards legalization of marijuana as the economic incentives become even more attractive, but they will still need to contend with conservative social attitudes towards recreational use of marijuana and the lack of consensus among scientists on the benefits of using it medically.
Thanks for listening. If you want to find more content, head over to subverse.minds.com to find articles, videos, and join our public newsroom where you can discuss topics and ideas as well as share articles. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium where we regularly post our content and receive feedback from our valued listeners like you. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate to our PayPal, Patreon, or Subscribestar. You can also get Subverse gear at our Teespring shop. All the links are in the description. Stay tuned for more content every weekday, and we'll see you next time.